And we're going to move on to continue our series of debates of the issues that will appear on your ballot. We're moving from local to state ballot initiatives this morning. The one thing all California voters are going to get a say on is a new issue of $15 billion in bonds for school and college facilities. The money that pays off the bonds would come from the state's general fund. The repayment over the course of 35 years would add $11 billion in interest. Joining us to make the case for borrowing the money to pay for the schools, Tony Thurman, the California State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And on the con side, we have Brian Jones. He's a Republican state senator from District 38. That represents parts of inland San Diego County. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and a former colleague of Mr. Thurman's in the Assembly.
Glad to hear it.
Good to talk to you again.
Good morning.
Superintendent Thurman, we'll start with you because you are in the affirmative. Make the case. California's flush with money. Why does it need to be borrowing cash for schools?
Well, the fact of the matter is most of our schools in this state are very old. And more than a third of our schools fail to meet basic kind of, needs around safety. And so this is a measure to promote health and safety for our kids, to address schools that have lead in our water, that have asbestos and mold, and to address the need to make our schools seismically safe. This creates a very secure stream of funding to help schools plan the improvements they need to make over time. And it has strong measures for oversight to make sure that all the public dollars that are provided to us by voters have good stewardship. And so, just like to say enthusiastically, yes, vote Prop 13 on March the 3rd.
Brian Jones, why do you think that's a bad idea?
Well, I agree with Mr. Thurman that the schools are in the condition as he described. But for me and a lot of my colleagues and the voters down, and well across the state actually believe that this is a local issue. The local school boards should have control of these funds and should be responsible for doing the bonds in their own districts. So a couple of things. Number one, the state shouldn't be going into this debt. As you rightly pointed out at the beginning, it's a $15 billion a bond, but at the end of the 35 years, it actually is going to cost $27 billion to pay back with the interest. So that's a nearly 80% interest rate. Local control would be allowing the local school districts to do a local bond to do the repairs and the improvements that they need. And in my area, several of the local school districts have done that. They've built new facilities, they've rehabbed old facilities, and have done a good job with it. We just don't need Sacramento controlling these funds and determining where they're going to go.
Brian Jones, I want to clarify something you said because I think you didn't say what you meant to say. You said an 80% interest rate. The interest rate would be in the low single digits.
Thank you. Yeah, that, not interest rate, but 80% payback of interest.
Which would be lower than most of us pay on our mortgages, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure that that's a fair argument to make for putting future school students in debt.
Tony Thurman, let's start with the question of local versus state control of borrowed money that your opponent just raised.
Yes, I support local control. I served on a school board and grateful that our local voters were able to pass the bond measure, but it only helped us address a few of our schools. The reality is, though, I hear from school districts on a regular basis that are not able to pass a bond measure. And many of them are small districts, rural districts, districts very similar to those in your Senate district, sir, that are just unable to pass a bond. For whatever reason, they can't get the votes there. But yet, they still have this incredible need to modernize and make their schools safe. While I support local control, I don't think that's a reason to punish, small rural districts and others that are not able to pass a bond and that are, no one's doing anything harmful from the state perspective. They're asking the state for help. They're crying out for help to make sure that our students are safe. And, we work in politics, but we should not make this a political issue. First and foremost, this is about keeping our students safe and making sure that they're in facilities that prepare them to be a great workforce of tomorrow. And so again, you know, local control is important, but in this instance, this is a place where of the 1,000 districts in our state, many of them just frankly need the support of the state. And this is a well-thought-out measure for providing that support.
Superintendent Thurman, I'd like to ask you to speak to an argument against this bill that was put on the ballot by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, who declined our request to participate in this debate. They said one of the provisions that doesn't make the top line is that it would double the cap on how much local school districts can borrow. They warned that that would mean higher property taxes. But I'm curious about the overall rationale for changing borrowing limits at the local level.
You know, I would like to just be clear that this measure is not going to be related to, you know, Prop 13 and property taxes. And I just have to say, you know, lots of groups have been making statements about this ballot measure that just happened to coincidentally be named Prop 13 because of the order in which it was assigned.
You know, I thought that was pretty wild when I saw it.
It really is wild and just ironic kind of, you know, set of circumstances that it would be named that. But it has nothing to do with the landmark measure, Prop 13, that affects property taxes in our state. And so, you know, for those who would throw those arguments out, I just want to make sure that there's no confusion to the voters. Whatever the voters decide to do, we will support. But let's make sure that they're given facts that are accurate and things are not mischaracterized. This is not a measure that's about our property taxes. This is a measure about keeping our kids safe. And, you know, everyone knows when you've got well-maintained schools, you also have good property values. And so this will provide great, great benefit to schools where safety issues exist. You know, it even has thoughtfully planned out ways to help build more affordable housing for students in our higher ed situations, who are many of whom are homeless and living in their cars. And it has built-in measures to help stem more affordable housing in all of our communities around the state. So, you know, I hope that the Howard Jarvis folks will come on the call next time. I'd like to have that conversation with them and really make sure that the voters know what this is really about.
And I would love to be a fly on the wall for that call. Brian Jones, I want to ask you to speak to the same question. You framed your argument in terms of local control, but this would create a bigger pot of money at the state level that local schools can tap. It would create more flexibility at the local level for schools to pass their own bonds. How is it doing anything other than creating more local control by making more financing available?
Well, I think the in response to the property tax issue is as school districts increase their debt and are able to bond additional funds beyond where they are. So it will increase the bonding ability of local school districts. Those bonds are paid back through the property tax bill. Now it's a line item on there as a bond, and it, you know, it says that it shows that it's different than the property taxes, the specific property taxes. But it is on the property tax bill that the local taxpayers, property owners that own homes, own small businesses, that you know are trying to eke out a living here in California, as the school debt increases, their property tax bill increases to pay it off. So that's the argument there. As far as the affordable housing, I'm not sure what part of the bond has anything to do with affordable housing. The you know, the bottom line for the opponents is a lot of our school districts are already highly in debt. The state is highly in debt. The state, by the governor's own budget, has a $22 billion surplus last year, and likely this year as well. And so why aren't we just paying this down as we go, use some of our surplus? And Republicans have been making that argument for several years on a couple of different fronts. And I think Republicans would certainly support a budget expenditure through the general fund this year and continuing years, as long as there is surplus, to update these facilities, especially at the CSU campuses and UC campuses that the state's responsible for, and then allowing the locals, if we want to do a grant program for locals, I think that's something that we could look at supporting as well. So we don't have to. The bottom line.
Sorry, Senator Jones. I appreciate all the points you've made, but I was asking a question about your initial argument, which was about local control, like the bonds you were just arguing against, the property tax increases. Those would be subject to local control. You would decide locally whether to raise your taxes.
That is correct. And the unfortunate situation in many parts of the state, when bonds are put on the ballot, it is difficult to make the case sometimes to the voters that this is this bond money that is, you know, storied for the schools is actually going to increase the debt and the property taxes of the people that are voting for it. So I understand that argument, but I just don't support increasing increased debt indebtedness for any local agencies, school districts, city councils, you know, cities, anything like that.
But it sounds, respectfully, sir, it sounds like you've switched from an argument about local control to an argument saying you can't trust the voters to decide.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's not exactly what I'm trying to communicate, but the bottom line for this bond is it does centralize the power of the funds that it raises in Sacramento. And Sacramento bureaucrats are going to be deciding which school districts it goes to and which ones it doesn't go to. And I don't have a high level of encouragement that it's going to be administered fairly and properly.
Superintendent Tony Thurman, we're on to closing arguments, so make your best case.
You know, I just want to say that this is a measure that really is to be decided by the people of California. And while it was put on the ballot by members of the legislature, the people will decide. And I'm pleased to say that nearly every Democrat and every Republican in the legislature, my colleague Senator Jones notwithstanding, supported putting this on the ballot because they know that our kids need to be in schools that are safe and well-maintained and that this is not a political issue. You know, so the arguments about using the surplus, you know, surplus has changed sometimes in the course of the same fiscal year as we see where the proceeds from revenue and taxes come in. And, you know, if schools are to be able to make these changes, they've got to have time to plan. Just like you do when you buy a home, when you make home improvements, you plan those out, and schools will need time to get architectural designs, get them approved through the appropriate agencies. You know, to do so. And as, you know, the senator asked about how this supports affordable housing measures are built right in. One for the $6 million that goes to higher education. The CSU and UCs have to build in plans that speak to how they will provide more affordable housing for students who are struggling. And the measure builds in caps on developer fees so that we can stimulate more affordable housing for working people all across the state. This is a very thoughtful measure. It has strong oversight provisions to address any concern that anyone would have. And it's going to put our students first in an area that's so important, their safety and well-being. And I would just like to urge your listeners to vote yes on Prop 13 on March the 3rd.
And closing arguments from you, Brian Jones.
Thank you. You know, I think what the voters in California need to realize, and I agree with Superintendent Thurman, that the schools do need the updating, but for me, it's up to the local school districts to figure out through their general fund and their bonding capability if that's what they want to pass and their local voters want to vote for that and impact their property tax. The problem with a statewide bond of this type is when you centralize the control of it to Sacramento, there's too much opportunity, certainly for waste and abuse, and so the local control of the funds is the best. This is a $12 billion bond that's eventually going to cost $27 billion over 35 years to pay back. As was mentioned, the state currently has a surplus that we can use for this. Every time the state goes into debt, the payback is through the general fund. So we're putting additional pressure on the general fund, which sometimes equals raising taxes on our cars, our gasoline, and our income. And then general fund dollars get wasted on projects like high-speed rail and other things that other parts of the state don't exactly support. So
the clock is upon us, sir.
I'm going to urge a no vote on this particular bond because I think it's a local issue that the local school district should be paying attention to.
All right, that's the voice of Brian Jones. He's a Republican state senator for the 38th district. He is arguing against Proposition 13, not that Proposition 13, the $15 billion bond for school facilities that is on your California ballot for Super Tuesday. Arguing in the affirmative, we had Tony Thurmond. He's the California State Superintendent of Public Instruction. I want to thank both of you for making time for us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.